that all glory could be to Christ.
A new year, 2022. Last week we talked about the necessity of connecting everything to God. This morning we want to talk about what that looks like, because Jesus Christ is Lord, everything is connected to Him. The reality is that God is our Creator. And He made everything. And He made everything with a purpose. He made everything with a design. From you to the creation and everything in it. Everything in the world has a purpose, has a design for which God has given to it. God has assigned a purpose and a design to everything in the world. So by connecting everything to God, we connect ourselves to God and come into alignment with His purposes, with His design, for what He intended for the universe. When we do that, which is called wisdom, that is what brings ultimate glory to God. Sin is the opposite of that. Sin is what tries to disconnect from God and disconnect from the purposes and the design of God. God's purposes for creation, God's purposes for you, God's purposes for the family, God's purposes for everything. Sin is falling short of God's glory. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is rebellion against God. So by connecting everything to God, we come into reality. We come into the basic understanding of what reality, what truth, and what goodness, and what beauty is all about. In everything, because God made everything to connect to Him, and in an ultimate sense, everything actually does connect to Him and through Him, because He is Lord of all. In Him all things consist. He is the head of all things, and His will reign supreme forever and ever. So we have the privilege of connecting everything to God, and we do that by faith in all Scripture. For all life defines reality as it truly is for the people of God. Now, sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds like a great vision for this year, doesn't it? Sounds like a great vision for your entire life, for the entire cosmos. But there's a problem. And as I ask you to think about this, what keeps you from connecting to God? And what areas or what area do you struggle with connecting everything to God? And if you're like me, my struggle as I was praying about this is I'm prone to forget the specifics of what it means to connect everything to God. I'm prone to be like the James 1 individual, James 1:25, who looks into the natural mirror, James 1:23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. What kind of man was he? He was a doer of the word. He was someone who looked into the word of God, believed the word of God, and obeyed the word of God. Be a doer of the word and not hearers only. So we deceive ourselves when we hear the word, but don't connect what we know in God's word to God and then everything in our life through what we know from God's word. That's why James says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And that deception comes in forgetting. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. There are many times that I forget what kind of man I am. I have the word of God before me. I'll get up, I'll seek the Lord, I'll have God encourage my heart with scripture, I'll have some specifics in my heart that relate to God's word for the day, and then as the day begins, sometimes I will forget and I'll disconnect from God based on various strains or stresses or temptations or pressures, and I'll make an application that is sinful in my life, and I'll disconnect from God. And that is my problem. That is my number one problem. I don't deny the general truth that I confess, but I forget God in some of the specific application that God is calling me to make. Anyone ever do that? Am I the only one? So, here is what I have found most helpful. And this is my application for this year. This is my prayer for myself. And I have found it to be most helpful. And that is the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So what I find most helpful in that proverb is, in all your ways acknowledge him. And that is parallel with trust in the Lord with all your heart. So if you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, you're not going to lean on your own understandings. That is my problem, that I will forget and I will lean on my own understandings. So the answer to that is to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and all your ways acknowledge him. And the word acknowledge him comes from the Hebrew root word meaning to know. In all your words, know him. Acknowledge him. Give an acknowledgement of his word, of his presence. In all your ways, it's a comprehensive term. In all of your ways, in all your paths, in all your thoughts, in all the choices that you make, acknowledge him. And that comes with a promise, doesn't it? And he will direct your paths. How many here would say, yeah, I want God to direct my paths this year? Amen. That's what we're connect everything to God, right? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You will have a God-centered life, a God-directed life. And that direction goes into all your paths, all your ways, all the various applications that you're making in your life. God will direct you when you trust in him with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. So here's some specific applications in my life of what that looks like. There's been many times when I've struggled with parenting, many times when I've been struggled to get angry or frustrated because my children don't listen. They don't do what I tell them to do. And there's been many, this is going back years, I've been convicted that the key for me, the single most important key for me, is to acknowledge God in the moment when I'm being tempted to get frustrated. Right there, just before I do anything, just acknowledge God. And when I do that, let's say my child does something or says something that is not appropriate or they need corrected, if I say, Lord, help me, if I acknowledge God, just that simple prayer, and I've read a lot of books on parenting and studied different things in that vein, but what God convicts me is, Jason, you need to acknowledge me and allow me to direct your path. Isn't that simple? But isn't that the most, for me, that is one of the most profound things. Because when I acknowledge him, you know what he does? He directs my path. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he directs your paths. You know what happens if I don't acknowledge him? Guess what do you think I would do? I lean on my own understanding. There's two ways here. It's a contrast. It's either this or that. If I don't acknowledge God, go figure, I lean on my own understanding. And in my own understanding, there's a way in which I deal with things that is not glorifying to God. Frustration and anger, what are you doing that for? Not God-centered. So there's an example for parenting. How about in a marriage relationship? In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, your wife gives you that look and you know you're in trouble. You know, you stepped out of line. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And you just say, Lord, in your spirit, acknowledge God. Because if you don't acknowledge God, what will you do? You'll lean on your own understanding. You naturally have a propensity in your heart to lean in your own understanding, to understand things, to think about things from your own thoughts and feelings. So to follow God is the call of the gospel, which is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus Christ, to acknowledge your creator, to acknowledge God for who he is, to walk in the light, walk in the truth, walk according to his grace and his love and his mercy. He forgives you of your sins. He justifies you by his grace. He gives you the gift of righteousness. And to follow in his ways, not the ways of men. Not the ways that are in our own hearts. So you see how this is such a comprehensive faith. Christianity is a comprehensive faith because it's designed to go into every area of life. The key is in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Again, if you're not acknowledging him, you're going to lean on your own understanding. When you do, wow, God really does give you wisdom. James 1:5, let him ask for wisdom, and he will give you wisdom liberally, but ask in faith. That's the purpose of trials. How many people think there's going to be trials this year? James 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yes, there's going to be trials. But God will give you wisdom as you acknowledge him. And as you acknowledge him, he'll give you the wisdom to not lean on your own understanding, but to trust in him in all your ways and to follow in his paths. Now, as you follow in his paths, let's say you do something well. You do something according to his design. What does that do to your heart? It brings encouragement, right? It encourages you, which encourages you then to trust in the Lord even more. So it's a healthy edification, build-up cycle that helps you to stop trusting in yourself and to really keep you in the ways of the Lord in all your ways. Helps you to connect everything to God as you, by faith, as God shows you, as you acknowledge him, as you stop, as you drop, as you pray, as you seek the Lord, and whatever it is, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. As he directs your paths, you get encouraged. So then when the next trial comes, when the next situation comes, when the next relational issue may take place, you have that much more encouragement in your heart. Hey, that really worked out well last time. Maybe I'll try it again. Maybe I'll try it again. And then when you forget, God is gracious, when you lean on your own understanding, he allows you to fall flat on your face. Oh, I forgot to acknowledge God. So really, this is the paradigm that we have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean on in our own understanding, in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. That's how we are called to walk out his will this year, every year. That's how we are called to take every thought and press it into the mold of Christ and allow him to work through us. So there's many applications, right? There's many different paths. How about your place at work? What's the main thing at work? Do it as unto the Lord, not as unto men. So who do you work for? Ultimately, you work for God, right? Not as giving eye service or lip service, but you work as unto the Lord. What about politics? What do you think is going to happen politically this year? Well, there's been a lot going on, hasn't there? And most of it has been not super favorable to our likings. There's cause for concern. So what are we going to do with that one? That's where anxiety can set in. So in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So it's the same thing. It's, Lord, who is in control? Psalm 1. Psalm 2. The Lord is in control, right? Kiss the Son. Let's give homage to him. Let's remember politics from his perspective. Let's walk out things from his perspective. He holds them in derision. He laughs at them as the nations gather together and they set themselves against the Lord and against his Messiah, right? This has been going on since the fall. Psalm 2 is a great picture of it. It's happening today. The ruling elite are setting themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed. The Lord laughs at them. He holds them in derision. You think this year's going to be any different? No. It's going to continue. So we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not in our own understanding, because in our own understanding, we get scared and anxious and we fret. And then we miss the opportunities that God has to do his will. I know I do. Or I waste time worrying about it. Pray. What are the specifics? So, see, in all these things, there's a general truth, and then there's a specific truth. And you need both. Remember, last week we looked at the parable of the seed and the sower from Mark chapter 4. The sower goes out to sow a seed. The seed goes into the soil, and then there's four different responses. Three of them are a disconnect. Only one is a connect. So as you go through your life, and all your ways acknowledging God, God will give you his word. You have his word. Okay? The Holy Spirit will bring the word to your mind. And that's when the battle begins. Satan just wants to take the word right out of your brain. Don't even go to the word. And he has a whole worldly system to just take the word out of you. Okay? He also has a system where the word will not take root, the rocky ground. He also has a system where the world will distract you from the word. The desire for riches and other things choke out the word. So as you go through your life and you hit circumstances, family situations, marriage situations, political situations, situations at work, provision, economics, all of the stuff of life, household management, all the stuff of life, God has seeds for you in his word that will grow you into the applications that he has for you. And from there you go from the general to the specific. Well, I know that Jesus is Lord, generally speaking. I know I'm saved, right? But I need to go from that general truth to the specifics. Okay, in this area in training, I need, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. I need that specific here. Okay, Lord, what does it look like for me to train my child here? It means to not provoke them to wrath. Okay, I feel like bopping them. I feel like doing something that's going to provoke him to wrath, right? But I have to lean. Lord, help me. I'm weak. And all your ways acknowledge him. Now we're getting specific. See how we go from the general, he is Lord, to the specific. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. My son, give me your heart, and may your eyes delight in my ways. Turn my heart to you, God. Turn my heart to these things. How about time management issues? What is the proper priority? Lord, what are you calling me to do right now? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So this is how we go from the general to the specific. As the sower goes out to sow, the word of God has the answers. As we walk through life, the Lord will give you that word. If you take that word into your life, he will show you the specifics. Take this step. Think this. Go here. Right when you need it. How many have ever had that happen to them? That the word of God is right there, right when you needed it. Isn't that beautiful? And as you build your life on that word, then, what does God do? He rewards you. With what? With a knowledge of his will. That's what Paul was praying. Lord, open the eyes of their hearts, right? That's what the psalmist prayed. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see good things from your law. We pray that. We seek that. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So from the time we get up, from the time we go to bed, the design is that we have a God-centered life, a word-centered life. The promise is, as the sower goes out to sow his seed, as we resist the temptation of blocking the word out of our heart, having a rocky soil or distracted heart because of the desire for other things that choke the word out, as we connect to God and stay connected to him, the promise is that connection will keep us connected to God and we'll be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's a promise for this year. That is the most important thing for this year, is that you would be able to do that. Amen? That's top of the list. So my question for you is, what would keep you from that? What holds you back from that? My answer for me is, sometimes I don't acknowledge God in all my ways. And so my prayer is that, Lord, in all my ways acknowledge him, that you would direct your path, that I would have that wisdom, so early in the morning, seek him, walking that out. Then as I go through my day, I will be acknowledging him, that I may experience, I want more of that wisdom for myself. And I want that for you. So this really gets us into that God-centered frame of mind. Removes the confusion, removes the compartmentalization. In America, in the West, we're very compartmentalized. We're very, in that sense, rebellious. One of the most important passages that clearly identifies that is the Deuteronomy 6 passage. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. What does it mean to love God? To obey God, to worship God. How do we do that? His word is in our heart. Again, the sower goes out to see the sow. The word goes different directions. Right now, the word is going forth. What is your heart going to do with this word? Do you have a vision for yourself to go from the general truth that you confess to walking that out in the specifics of your life? You're asking God, Lord, show me the specifics in my life where I am leaning on my own understanding and not acknowledging you. He'll direct your paths. Get God's word in your heart. So it goes to a very specific and narrow place. God's word in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is your heart? The core of who you are, the center of your being. Mind, emotion, will, wrapped up in one word, where you make your choices, which you meditate, where you value. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And when the word is in your heart, Deuteronomy 6, 6 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, then you shall walk them out into all of life. Then you shall teach them diligently to the first people you meet. Well, for most people, who are the first people you meet when you wake up? Your children. So you teach them to your children. Who else are you going to meet? I don't know. Maybe some neighbors. Maybe some coworkers. Maybe a spouse. I don't know. The point is, you have a God-centered way of living with everyone you meet. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And you shall teach them diligently, because when you believe the word, you'll live the word, and when you believe and live the word, you'll teach the word. You'll teach it in a way that is appropriate to your gifts and calling. So, Scripture says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's not to mean you only do it then. It's a mirrorism, meaning it's indicative of every aspect of your life. So we see how often the Scripture goes from the general to the specific, and then from the specific to the broad application. That's how we're supposed to funnel in. That's how we're to think about ourselves. We're not to think about ourselves as Hollywood teaches us. We're not to think of ourselves as autonomous individuals doing whatever we want. We're to think of ourselves as those who have been brought into covenant relationship by God's grace through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who's given this amazing love, that we have the opportunity now to see all of life as a worship to God and in all our ways acknowledge him. When we get up, as we walk by the way, when we lie down, we put our head down on the pillow at night, we reflect upon his goodness. We go to sleep thinking of his praises. When we get up in the morning, early will I seek him. Seek first his kingdom. So we give God the first fruits, the best of our day. It may look different for you, different people, different schedules, different times, but in the heart, it's Lord, search my heart and know me. Lord, I want to acknowledge you in all my ways and take in some of the word of God, right? I'm going to be meditating on the law of God, the Torah of Yahweh, day and night. That starts at the beginning when I wake up, and it goes throughout the day. Again, I confess my problem. Sometimes I will forget who I am, forget my identity in Christ, forget all the good things. I will get anxious about all the work that I believe I'm supposed to get done this day. And I'll get anxious about that and walk in to what I have to do to get God's will done in my life. And that's how I think about it. And I will get anxious about that. And when I get anxious and I get nervous about that, I can get angry about that when people get in my way. And those people are usually my family or other people that are, but usually my family, right? So I'm confessing that. That's wrong. It's ridiculous, right? Think about how foolish that would be. I'm trying to do God's work in my own understanding. Never works. It never works. So what do I need? Same thing that you need. Faith and humility. So that in all my ways, I acknowledge him. He can direct our paths. What does our church need? We need faith. We need humility. So that in all our ways, we acknowledge him and he can direct our path. We have a robust theology. I mean, what a great paradigm. All scripture for all life. What a great understanding. When you get up and you walk down and you bring, and now we bring our children into that, there's a powerful, that's a powerful discipleship. Powerful discipleship. You know, that's the way Jesus made disciples, by the way, remember? Hey guys, come walk with me, come follow me, come live life with me. And then he sent them out to do the same, and he sent them out to do the same, and he sent them out to do the same. So we're sent into the world to make disciples the way Jesus did, to share, to talk, to train, to teach, and all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. What does the enemy do with this teaching? Satan, number one, says just forget it. That's the first way. If he can't go that way, he gets to the rocks, right? Don't root into this. Maybe buy into it a little bit, but don't root into it. And if he can't get you out that way, it's the weeds, the thorns that choke out the word. And Satan does that. He says, okay, you can worship God over there, but not over here. You can worship God in your room, but as soon as you leave your room, there's no way you can worship God when you walk into your living room. I mean, that's literally the pressure Satan puts on it. You can worship God when you're reading your Bible, but not when you turn on your TV. You can worship God when you're in your home, but when you go to work, secular environment, don't mention God. Don't think about God, right? I mean, Satan has all these thorns and thistles and weeds that choke out the word, doesn't he? And he has all these ways of communicating this through the media, through friends, through other people that don't see it from a biblical worldview. And there are many even in the church who would say, yeah, you don't have to acknowledge God here. What does soccer have to do with Jesus Christ? What does sports have to do with Jesus Christ? What does this have to do with Jesus Christ? What is that? Well, we know everything has to do with Jesus Christ because he is Lord of all. That's why scripture says, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do all in the name of Lord Jesus. Do everything to God's glory. He is Lord of all. So that third one where the word gets choked, the seed gets choked out, is very prevalent in our culture. I mean, persecution just, you know, bam. We don't have that hard persecution, but we do have the soft persecution. You can't say that here. You can't do that here. right? Put your mask on and shut up. It's this kind of soft persecution that deceives us and think, oh, okay, what's the harm in this? What's the harm in that? What's the harm in this? What's the harm in that? And before you know it, our Christianity is reduced to a very small influence in our life, right? And that happens through the education system, right? Look at the education systems in our country. They are categorically against the acknowledgement of God. And so people that have been raised in those systems, what's the one thing they won't do? Even Christians that come out of it, they won't say, I do this because the Bible says. So think politically, think in the public sphere, right? What's the one thing you're going to get hammered for more than anything? If you say, I think we should be for a free market or for the responsibilities of families to work hard because that's what the Bible says, right? I think we should be against sexual perversion because God says it's wrong in his word. I mean, you want to talk about, the end of you? Intolerance? You know, that you can't go there. Why? Because the worldly system functions in this compromised quagmire of trying to choke out the word at every level. That's their purpose. That's what they believe, right? We don't believe that. Why don't we believe that? Because we are the church, and the church doesn't believe that. The church is God's people. We believe that in all our ways, we acknowledge him, and we believe that God is the one then who directs our paths. Now, this is where each person's individual calling comes into play. You have gifts. You have abilities. You have placements where God has placed you right where he wants you this year, strategically, on purpose, in your family, to shine out the light. To as Deuteronomy 6 says, to walk along, talk along, and then write his word on the doorpost of your house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me in the Lord's church, not my church, the Lord's church, we will preach the gospel and make disciples for the glory of God. We will not be distracted by the distractions of this world. We will follow Christ. We will glorify him. We will preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And we will proclaim it publicly, and we'll proclaim it privately, publicly and household. Acts 20, Paul said, I won't shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God, publicly in his preaching and house to house, making the application into the fabric of the life of the community. That's what the church is for. That's what the church does, to bring glory to God, to make disciples. And so as we do this, we recognize the key: in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So, what would keep you from living a God-centered life? You know the world's agenda for you: to connect everything together in the world. That's their agenda. They want to connect everything together through a worldly philosophy, which is the denial of God. Denying his presence, denying his word, denying his sovereignty, from the education, which the main thing the educational system says is, the fear of the Lord is not the beginning of wisdom. Right? You can quote any other man, but if you say the Bible says, I mean, if you're a teacher in the public school and you say that, you lose your job. Why is that? You can say all these things, but why do the teachers lose their job if they say that? Think about that. That's their agenda. Okay? It's world, and it's always been that way. This is nothing new. So we, as the church, need to be aware of this so we don't fall into this and lose our own soul and lose our own vitality and lose our own spiritual growth, because the world is constantly trying to push us into its mold. Why? It's easier for a moment. But remember, light always triumphs over darkness. Good always triumphs over evil. And Jesus Christ is truly Lord of all. There is no ungodding of God. In him all things consist, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 1, 16, 17, 18. So that in all things Christ may have the preeminence. So his firstness and his greatness and his holding all things together, that is the reality that we know. That is the reality that we confess. That is the central tenet of our faith. Christ is Lord of all. And he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of God. He's exalted that every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and all that's to the glory of God our Father for the great mercy he's done in salvation and the amazing rule he has over the nations. So that is our confession. That is the reality that we know. So that means that we must connect everything to God, because everything ultimately is connected in and through and by God. This world makes sense. There is really no fragmentation. Fragmentation is only allowed by God for a brief period of time in this rebellious world for God's sovereign purposes, sin. But God will put an end to that. He puts an end to that through his church by our obedience to all scripture. That's God's will for you. So how is God calling you to put an end to the rebellion in your heart? Okay, I got to start there, right? In your family and in the sphere in which God has placed you. That's God's calling, and he's equipped you for it. That's God's calling for us as a church. He's equipping us for that calling to reach out and to preach the gospel and to make disciples and to call all things to give an account to him. God's given us a building. We got to get the building done this year, right? We got an address now. I'm excited about an address. That's a big deal for me. We're going to put the mailbox in, Lord willing, this week. So God is preparing us. God is moving us. God has us in a place to do this. Will you follow him? Will you trust in him with all your heart? Will you lean not in your own understandings? Will you acknowledge him in all your ways and allow him to direct your paths? I know, my fellow believers in Christ, that's what you want. I know you believe that. Let's seek the Lord that he would help us to go from what we know to be true in the general confession of our life, and give us that Holy Spirit wisdom to walk that out in the specifics of our life. In all our ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He is Lord of all. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. In all your ways, acknowledge him and allow him. You don't have to fret. You don't have to stress. Allow him to direct your paths. You don't even have to figure it all out. All you have to do is trust in him. All you need to do is, when he brings that word, the sower and the seed, when he brings that word, keep it. Keep it. When he brings that word, listen. When he brings that word, hear. Follow. And allow him to walk this out. For you in your life, for you in your family, and for us together as a church, walking out his will in 2022. I'm going to close with Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may set him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, may the name of the Lord be praised among his people, in his church, in this church, and in his churches scattered all around the globe. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, this is our desire. This is our belief, that we would trust in you, that I would trust in you with all my heart, and lean not in my own understandings. Father, forgive me of my sin. All my ways acknowledge you, that you would direct our paths. Father, I pray for abundant wisdom to be given to your church. Abundant wisdom to be given to the fathers and the mothers, to the young people. That you will help us, you will cause us to see, to remove the blinders, to respond to your word. That as we look back in 2021 and we say, God, thank you for guiding us. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for directing us into truth. Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful for you, that we will have that same praise at the end, Lord willing, at the end of this year, if you should tarry, that we would praise the name of the Lord for the great things that you have done. So we make our boast not in ourselves, we make our boast in you, that you are the one who keep us, you are the one who save us, you are the one who sanctifies, you are the one who call us to do great things in your name. From the rising of the sun to the going down, your name is to be praised. May the praises resound from your people here and around the world. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen.